Amen. You know, when we think of Jesus, he said some pretty extreme and some hard, harsh things that we kind of like put in the back of our mind because, you know, they're not real welcoming. They're not real inviting. Jesus told his followers, hey, suffering is going to happen to you. Have a nice day. He also told people, he said, you know, the world is going to hate you if you do what I say. Well, that's not very nice. Then he said, hey, you're blessed if you get persecuted for following my name. Well, who would want to follow him when you hear this is what you have to expect? And so I find that in church world, we have a way of blocking that sort of stuff out. Those more harsh and kind of extreme things, they don't fit well with this image we like to have of Jesus. And so we have what some people will call refrigerator verses or plaque verses, and they're famous in church world. They're well-known verses which just kind of make you feel good about things. You put them up in your fridge or you have a plaque in your house about them, and it gives you warm fuzzies. One of the most popular ones is this verse right here, which says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then there'll be a picture of cute kittens or a puppy or a sunset or something. You know, you've seen all these. We've all been around enough to do it. And we love this sort of thing. Come to me, be warmed and filled. I'll give you rest. We love it. But you know something? When Jesus spoke this verse, I don't think kittens were what people had in mind. When Jesus spoke this verse, this is what they would have thought of. This is what would have come to mind. A farmer working with his oxes. Listen to what the verse says. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wait a minute, whoa, 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 what's this yoke stuff? That wasn't part of the deal. I mean, I just saw these kittens falling asleep and it looked kind of cute, and I think, you know, I could get into a life like that. We love this passage for the idea that if you're overworked, if you're stressed and burdened, you'll find rest for your souls. But then we skip the yoke part. But if you skip the yoke part, you will get no rest for your souls. The yoke is part of the package deal. Now, we're not a farming culture here, and I'm sure if the Bible was written and it talked about programming language or so on, a lot of us would go, aha, I get it. But the Bible was written to an agricultural society, a lot of farmers, people working the fields. That was the context that Jesus was speaking to. And when Jesus talked about a yoke, they knew right away what he was saying. Everybody knows what a yoke is. A yoke is what the local farmer does, or it's what you do when you're working your land. You get two ox, two cattle, you yoke them together, you put a beam of wood, and then you've got two loops on it, their neck goes into each one of them, then the farmer stands behind them, and they go ahead, and they pull the plow, and he's able to do his work in the soil. That's what a yoke is. A yoke requires you to be attached to something. And what Jesus is doing here is he's saying to everyone, he is inviting us to link up under his yoke. Now, taking his yoke is all about obedience. That's really what it boils down to. The first thing that came to mind when people heard this verse in Jesus' day was, I've got to do what the master says because I'm under a yoke. You see, we like the easy, we like the comfort, we like the rest, but we're Americans. We want to do our own thing. I'm entitled to the pursuit of my happiness, and I'll do it my way. Thank you very much. But Jesus is saying, it doesn't work that way. See, too often, we want Jesus to be our life coach, to be our friend, to be our break the glass in time of emergency dude that just shows up whenever we want him to. It otherwise leaves us around. But that is not the way Jesus operates. You see, Jesus wants us to come to him as we are, but he didn't want us to come to him and stay as we are. You see, Jesus says, when you come to me and do as I want you to do, I will transform you. And we kind of resist that. We're Americans. We want to be free to do whatever we want to do. We often think of Jesus as a genie who is there for us instead of Jesus as he really is, being the king who expects us to serve him. See, obedience is at the heart of discipleship. We're doing a series now, we're calling it Extreme, and really it's about following Jesus Christ as he called us to. The church word for it is discipleship, being a follower of Jesus Christ. And at the core of being a disciple is saying, I will hear him and I will obey him. I will do as he says. This verse that is so well known, come unto me, is all about discipleship. Let's look at what this verse says. Come to me. This is Jesus speaking. He's saying, come to me. This is a relationship. And then he says, all of you who labor and are heavy laden. In the context of the people that he was talking with, many of them were under incredible religious burdens. Religion had kind of departed from what God intended it to be, a heart thing, a relationship with him, and it was filled with a list of rules and regulations, nitpickiness. And God knows what we're like. He knows that rules and regulations weigh us down and burden us. And Jesus is saying, folks, I can free you from this religiosity, those burdens. I want to free you. I will give you rest and refreshment. But then he goes on. He says, you want that rest? Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Do things my way. It's not like, okay, Jesus, I'll take the yoke and I want to get on with the rest of my life. Jesus says, you take my yoke and then you learn from me. At first, that sounds very harsh. But then he goes on and he says, I am gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Obedience, it's at the heart of discipleship. You see, what we're calling Extreme in this series is really nothing more than Christianity 101. This is a call back to the basics, saying, Lord, I'll obey you. You are God, I am not. I will follow you rather than expect you to follow me around and clean up my mess. Extreme obedience. This is back to basics. But you see, when we see Jesus for who he truly is, when we're awed by all that he has done for us, well, who wouldn't want to take his yoke up? Who wouldn't want to say, yeah, I'll attach to you and I'll follow you wherever you go? C.T. Studd, one of the great missionaries in church history, and incidentally, let me do a little plug with our children's ministry. We have a library, a lending library out here with biographies of missionaries, people that have obeyed the call of God to some incredible places and things. I'd encourage you to get them and make them a staple of your household. Check them out. Read into it. C.T. Studd, I believe we have his biography there, said this, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. What a great attitude. If Jesus Christ is God, and he is, and he died for me, he did, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Jesus is amazing. And once we're awestruck with who he is and all that he's done, following him becomes a lot easier. But the trouble is, especially in a wealthy area like this, we think that the stuff around us is more important than, or it's better than Jesus. It'll give us more fulfillment, or we can really trust the stuff around us. And sometimes in all this haze of materialism and the stuff we got here, it's hard for us to get our eyes on Jesus as they should be. But Jesus said, come to me, me. Obedience. You know, obedience is like a thermometer, and it measures the temperature of your love for God. We're a very sentimental society, and we like to say a lot of things, and we like to sing a lot of things, and that's all good. But Jesus said, you want to show that you love me? Obey my commands. In John 14, verse 15, this was said the night in which Jesus was betrayed. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You can say all you want, but if you don't keep my commandments, it's just religious talk. It's just a greeting card. If you love me, keep my commandments. So let's talk about obedience. What does this mean to be yoked to Jesus? You know, how do you take a farming term, which some of us may never have seen in our lives, and live it out here in Northern Virginia? A few things jump out to me as we think of the yoke, coming to Jesus and bearing his yoke. The yoke is easy if you walk with a leader. See, we don't like the idea of a yoke because we think, wait a minute, I want to do my own thing. But if you walk with a leader, it's not that difficult. Two of your pastors recently got puppies. Now, Pastor Blake lives down the street from me, and I am sure that he and I combined have given countless hours of entertainment to our neighbors as we've each tried to walk our respective puppies down the street here. Dog walking is not as easy as you think it would be. Being a new dog owner and you're trying to think, oh, what do we do? How do we do this? YouTube is wonderful because you can find video clips on this is how to walk your dog. Now, I get kind of annoyed at these video clips because what'll happen is you'll see a happy family and they'll say, we think it's time to take Chester for a walk. Okay, Chester, come here. And Chester prances over to them. They put the leash on him and they kind of walk very jauntily down the neighborhood like this, and Chester is right beside them, not going anywhere. That isn't the way my dog works. My dog has perfected the canine flop. Hey, Millie, time to go for a walk. Leash on her, she'll stand up. I will take a step towards the door. Every muscle in her body simultaneously deactivates and she splays out on the floor like this. Now, since it's a wood floor, you can do a little bit of gentle dragging action and you kind of pull it. It's very gentle and I don't do it across the whole house. She'll get the message. Then she gets up and we walk along and we go outside. But the battle isn't over yet, because outside there's all kinds of sights and smells. And I'm really resenting these YouTube videos of happy homeowner and Chester walking down the street together, because that isn't what my life looks like. I finally get my dog, and I really do love my dog, don't get me wrong. And she wants to do everything except the direction where I go. She has to stop and sniff every tree. She's sniffing every fence post. Oh, there's another dog across the street. Yank my owner's arm out of its socket and try to run over and get it. That is what a walk looks like. But you know, I sometimes think that God let me get a dog so that I would see what I'm like with him. Because he says, hey, this is the direction you're supposed to go. Now, whoa, hey, what about this over here? Oh, no, hey, I want to do this over there. Okay, no, oh, I don't want to go splay down, you know? Just like my dog. Being yoked is difficult if you're going in different directions. It only works when you're going in the same direction. The yoke is easy if your agenda is the same as the leader's. But the trouble is, when you want to go in different directions, you stall. You fight each other. It's a tug of war, and you're right beside each other. See, many of us stall because we fight God's leadings. It's, Lord, my will. But remember, Jesus said to his Father, not my will, but yours. Meaning, Lord, I will hear things from your word, and I will obey you. See, in church circles, we use this term, you know, we walk with God. And, you know, what does that mean? Walking with God really means living life with God. It means aligning my will up under his. I line up with God, and I say, where you want to go, that's where I'm going. Now, we often say, okay, Lord, well, I want you to tell me, if I walk along, will you tell me exactly which job to get? Will you tell me exactly which person to marry? Now, I do believe that God guides us in the specifics like that, but God says, whoa, 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 slow down. Let's work on the broad things first of all. We all know the will of God. The will of God is to give thanks in everything, is to be grateful people. The will of God is to open our mouths and talk to everyone around us about Jesus. The will of God is that we be honest people living our lives with integrity. That's the will of God. Those are things that we know. And God says, you do this. If you will obey me in the general, if you will take my yoke upon you in these general things, trust me. When you get to the point of decision, I'll make clear which way you should go. But so many of us say, Lord, I want to know your will. Should I take this job? Should I not? And God's message to us is, relax. Obey me in the general, and I'll guide you step by step. But we have to wear his yoke to do that. And wearing his yoke and lining up under his thinking, there's really no formula to it. It's not something which happens, boom, instantaneously like that. It flows out of living a life with him. It flows out of living a life in which I say, Lord, I'm going to read your word. I want to understand what you want me to do. Lord, I want to follow you. And over time, we understand the way he thinks because his word is running through our mind. I coach a little league soccer team, 13-year-old girls. And many of these, they're 13 now, but I started with most of them when they were around age 7. Now, if any of you all have seen 7-year-old girls playing soccer, it's a sight to behold. First of all, it probably is not true soccer, but you kind of have this clump going after the ball, they go around, and then they'll see their best friend on the other team, and instead of kicking the other player's shins, they'll kind of run over and hold their hands with them and skip around the field. And it's like, no, 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 you're not supposed to do that. I co-coach with another guy, and we say, look, we're the jumping baboons because we'll stand on the sideline. We'll say, no, you need to play over there. You need to stay in that lane. You need to go this way. No, go over there. Crash the goal. That's what we sounded like. But as I reflect on this, there's less of that going on now because over time, the players are learning where they're supposed to be. I'm finding that I still have a voice after a game now because they follow their lanes. They know that if one player crosses over this way to the goal, the other one runs over to fill the space here. It's really fun to watch. But it's come over time and over practice. And you see, and this is what we call maturity in the Christian life. Maturity just builds on obeying God in the daily things. And over time, you naturally start understanding the way God thinks. You know what he wants you to do. And a great thing about that is when you're living this way, you stumble into doing his will. It doesn't have to be anything stressful. You stumble into it because you've taken his yoke upon you. You're living life with Jesus, obeying him. You say, I want to line up in the same direction as you. Well, he's going to lead you in his will. So you got nothing to worry about. Wearing the yoke is easy. When you say, I will line my will up under yours. Something else about the yoke. It really has to be two ox in a yoke. There are two in the yoke. And so when you think about it, you're never alone. When you take Jesus' yoke on you, you're with Jesus, which is fantastic. When we hear the word obedience, we tend to think of doing what I don't want to do. But Jesus says, look, I'll be with you. The reality is, this world is fallen. We will suffer in this world. We will have things happen that we don't want to have happen. We will experience the consequences of our own poor choices, and sometimes we'll experience the sin of other people on us. And it just didn't seem right. Life can be filled with mud and bog. And I think if we were stuck in that by ourselves, we'd be stuck. There was someone far more powerful right beside us. And he's saying, let's go. I will drive us through it. You are never alone through the mud that life throws at you. When you're yoked with Jesus, you're with him. And that is an incredible thing. The very God of the universe who has said, follow me, says, I'll go with you. I will be there. You're not alone. Also, when I think of a yoke, the reality is all of us choose a yoke. We like to think, I'm free, I'll do what I want, no one's going to tell me what to wear, I'm going to do my own thing. But the fact is, you're wearing a yoke even when you do that. We all wear a yoke. Just make sure it's the right one. Submission and obedience are really bad words in our culture today. They have baggage with them. They're not culturally cool or correct. But the fact is, we will all submit to someone or something. The default option for all of us as human beings is what the Bible calls our flesh. That is that innate part inside of us that bends away from God, wants to do our own thing. It's that part of me which says, I really want to be God and make the rules to live by. And that's a yoke. And you will get no rest for your soul if you say, that's the way I'm living. But Jesus comes to give us freedom from that. He says, will you wear my yoke? I made you. I designed you. I know what's best for you. Wear my yoke. But as humans, we kind of struggle with this idea of obedience. But the fact is, obedience is the gateway to true freedom. But we think obedience fences us in. A number of years ago, when we had the joy of bringing Zach home, he was 2 and a half when we adopted him. And we live in a corner lot. We did not have a fence around our yard. And Karen and I remember we were looking out there and we're thinking, you know, this could really end badly with a 2 and a half-year-old that doesn't speak English yet, that can walk and run. So we better get a fence up before we bring him in. So we got a fence put in. And what became obvious after a short time is that his older sisters were then able to use the whole yard. Prior to that, we had a set of steps coming down off our kitchen, and the kids never really went more than a few feet away from that. They would cluster around it. But once we put a fence up, defining the yard, all of a sudden they were playing around in the whole yard. You see, God gives us a moral fence. He says, this is the way to live. Now the world will tell you, that's a restriction. I want to do whatever I want. But God is saying, wait a minute. I know how you're wired. I know what's best for you. That is why I am putting these around. And if you respect the limits that I have put around, you will see that you are actually free to enjoy all of what I've given you. But too often, we end up saying, no, no thanks, God, I'm not going to use those fences. And we end up just kind of clustered doing our own thing. A fence is freeing. The God who knows us, who made us, said, I've given you a fence. Will you obey it? It's for your good, and I love you. The Bible says this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened by a yoke of slavery. It's for freedom that Christ has set you free. It's kind of a paradox. Wear that yoke, put that yoke on you, but then you'll really be free. Because otherwise, you're just going to have the yoke of slavery to your own desires, your own abilities, which will never lead you to true fulfillment. So Jesus invites us to take his yoke. He says, I want you to follow me. My yoke is not burdensome to you. You will see that the longer you walk under my yoke, the more freedom you will enjoy in life. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus invites you to take his yoke. The King of the universe is summoning you to obey him. But it's not a burdensome command. See, when you see him as he really is, it will be easier to submit him. When you take his yoke upon you, you are never alone. And when you take his yoke upon you, you'll be freer than you ever thought you could be. But taking his yoke starts with obedience. Obedience means submitting to Jesus and doing whatever he says. It means saying, Lord, I will follow your lead throughout life. I will follow the paths that you mark out for me. And there are some general things that we know we need to do. Scripture said it's the will of God that you be a thankful people, that you live with integrity, that you love your neighbor. Those are the general things. Jesus said, I want you to walk in this way, and you will see that my burden is easy. It's a light load. But there's something else about Jesus. He will never ask us for more than he has already done before us. You see, Jesus set the ultimate example of submitting to God. In Philippians chapter 2, it says this, starting in verse 7, Jesus, being fully God, emptied himself, and by taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of man, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You see, Jesus lived this perfect obedience so that we could be free. In a few minutes, we're going to be taking communion together. And the reason we take communion is to remember the ultimate act of obedience done by Jesus. You see, each of us as human beings, we fall short of God's perfection. We fall short of his standard. We can't live up to what God wants us to do. We have this thing called sin inside us. It's this inclination to do our own thing. God says, I can't have that in my presence. But the reality is, as human beings, each one of us does our own thing. God says the problem with every human being's sin is that it deserves the death penalty, separation from me forever and ever in a place called hell. But God loves the world so much that he didn't want that to happen to anybody. So he said, I'm going to do something about it. And this is what he did. He sent his son, Jesus, to come into the world to live a perfect life. And Jesus lived a perfect life, the only human to have never sinned. He didn't have to die. But then what he did is he offered to die in our place so that all who come to him can be restored to a right relationship with God. That is freedom. The way we get right with God, which is the greatest need of every human being, is this, is to recognize that we fall short of God's standard of perfection and that we need a Savior. That we believe that Jesus died for us on the cross to pay that penalty for our sin that we could never pay for ourselves, and then he rose again to prove that he paid it. And he reaches out to everyone on the planet and says, will you come to me? Will you believe in me? He offers that life to everyone. When you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, you're made right with God. And then Jesus says, listen, I want you to take my yoke now and live out this side of eternity with me. It's the greatest way to freedom. It's the gateway to freedom. And it starts with obedience. It's extreme in one way, but in the other way, it's very basic. He's calling all of us to obedience. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would be a people that choose to obey you. Lord, I pray also if there's anyone in this room who does not yet know Jesus as Savior, that today would be the day they call on him. Lord, I pray for every one of us that we would experience and enjoy the freedom of wearing your yoke. I pray that we would live life with you and appreciate that we are never alone no matter what life throws at us. Lord, I pray that we would willingly choose to submit to you rather than our own desires, because that is by far and away the best thing. So Lord, I pray that we would be a people who take obedience seriously, come to you every day saying, Jesus, I want to yoke up with you and walk life with you. In Jesus' name. Amen.